I'm listening. Thank you.
Will be playing.
Yes. Yeah. Be there. I see some of y'all come back. No, you done got right in the front, haven't you? I have a tendency to climb over this thing sometimes. Y'all doing okay? Well, I did finally get a grip on exactly how to finish this up. So we're going to fly. Y'all ready? Let's just go for it. Well, I was sitting over there. This here verse came to my mind. So I'm going to read it to you first. It's over in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. There was another one, but I'm going to hold that one. It's too much of a chop axe to start with. I'll beat you up a little bit first, and then I'll plow the axe. No, kid. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 20. See, there's a job to be done, okay? And it's going to take some serious commitment of Christians in the latter days to finish it. All right. And here's David. David was a warrior king. I mean, he made some of the biggest blunders in the Bible, but he had something about him that made him unusual than other men that made mistakes. He had the ability to repent and hang on to the heart of God and keep his heart in the hand of God. That's a serious gift. And we don't want that. We want to be a particular way. I'm all right like I am and leave me alone. Well, I disagree with you. I think we should be pliable and subject to change at the whim of the Holy Ghost, regardless of how satisfied we are, where we are. King David looks at Brother Solomon, his son, and said, "Be strong and of good courage." It's real simple what he told his boy to do. Just do it. Just do the job. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I mean, when you undertake jobs for God, I'm telling you, there's a strong fear, and it comes from both sides of the fence. It comes from God's side as well as the devil's side. But man, it's almost like you're in the middle of a meat grinder, and you could be pulled either way. That position is what we don't like. So we go one way or the other. That position is the problem. I know it's the problem. I'm telling you, I've seen some great men come and go out of our work. They're good men. I'm telling you, I esteem them to this day. Disagree with some of them, but I esteem them. They're good men. The thing that got them was fear. They were dismayed at the battle. God was exacting too much, so they had to book. They had to bail out. All righty. All of us like the stories of victory and the guy that made it and did good. But every one of us, I'm included, I'm making it in Jesus' name. Every one of us, there's a price that's beyond normal Christianity. Where you can be that great warrior, where you can be that person. I've been in lots of situations, lots of them now, dozens, hundreds of them, where you nobody will ever know. God will show it one day, hopefully, in his playback of our lives. Hopefully we'll get to see these things of each other and just enjoy them together. Be plenty of time for that. But when a situation jumps up, you have a split section whether to be a hero or a failure. You know that? I don't know how long it is, but it's not very long. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it's a split-second decision that you go and you save people's lives, you help them, you bring deliverance to a great many people. And I have been in on quite a few of those things. And I'll tell you, it is so much. When you're in the middle of it, you're not thinking of whether you're a hero or not a hero. You can only see one thing. and there's people in trouble, and you will do anything to get them free. Then all of a sudden, after a while, you look back and reflect on what you did, and you go, God, my God. We was baptizing one day in a flood. And a little boy was baptized, and well, I was busy, you know, baptizing folks and helping those Indians. There was lots of us out in the river baptizing, and all of a sudden, a mother goes just crazy. Can't find her boy. Well, there's only one other place he could be. In that water somewhere. So there's not even a thought entered my mind. I just took a backward jump, boom, and I'm going down through there like this, letting the current just take me. I found him. I found him. I hit the rocks and blew him up out of the water and held him up like this and went over to the bank, you know, and pumped water out of his lungs and so forth. And he came right, he revived, boom, brought back. I'm telling you, you just do it. You just do what's right. You don't be fearful. Your life for someone else's is okay to pay that. That's how you got escaped out of the jailhouse you was in. Through somebody else's life, Jesus. All right. It says right here, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, will be with you. I'm telling you, if we could just trust that He's really with us all the time, there would be so many more great heroes in the body of Christ. There would be so many more people that are open to the victory and the wanting of the Holy Ghost. It says, I won't forsake you until you have finished all the work. I am confident. I am so confident. I've said this here before, but here's a phrase that really backs it up. I am so confident at what I do. I don't believe it's possible. I could get in sin. I could make mistakes. I mean, lots of things could happen. But if I'm really after seeking God, I don't believe it's possible for the devil to kill me before God's through with me. I don't even believe it's possible. I mean, I've told you some serious stories about all kinds of things. But you still see me keep coming back year after year. And I still keep bringing new stories. It's going to run out one of these days. Don't know when it is, but just know I was happy. I was doing the will of the Father. You just remember that, all right? Because the Bible says, for the service of the house of the Lord. Is that what that last phrase is in y'all's Bible? That's what it's all about to me. So it doesn't matter what happens in between times. It just matters that I am not afraid and I am not dismayed. I have courage in my heart. And the strength of the Holy Ghost is in there. And the fear, oh boy, the meat grinder, it's there. It's available. But so is the Holy Ghost. So is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right, go with me to John chapter 8, please. I just jumped off out into here. Is that okay? Man, that's what I did this morning. Again, I worked out again today. I sought the Lord again today. I'm doing all right. A little discipline, that's good for you. But the discipline that I have, is people consider it way beyond a little bit. John chapter 8 and verse 32. I think we've read this a time or two. We're going to read it again. You can know the truth. And the truth will make you free. I want you to know that freedom to me, y'all know what it's like to just be free. I am a debt-free man. I don't owe any of you anything. I don't owe this country anything. I've paid my dues. I am free. I don't owe the government anything. I don't owe Mexico, the Mexican government anything. I'm free. I've done legally the right things. I've paid Caesar. I've done the right things. I'm free. I'm free, free, free. And it feels good to be free. If I was strapped with lots of debt, I would probably come into a meeting like this with a little intimidation and backing off of you a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I'm a different guy. Who knows? But But most people would. So try not to hurt your feelings. Try to get you to put a check in offer. This, that, the other thing. If you don't give me $50,000, it is not going to stop the plans of God. Of course I need it. And I appreciate it. But that's not the point with me at all. The point is God is bigger than any one body or person. God's bigger than all the moves put together. If it's true that He holds the earth in the palm of His hand, what is our problem? If He really, His hand is so big that the earth sits in it, what's the problem? What's the fear? What's the doubt? What's the problem? I don't get it. You can see that, right? I just don't get it. Because truth is freedom. It don't matter how much of an insignificant speck I am on that little piece of dirt that's in His hand. That does not matter to me at all. What matters is to me is that great big hand is taking care of me. And my family. I was asked a question a while ago. My wife, does she travel with me extensively? She just went with me. I drug her all over the world just now. All over the place. Travel. We did services every night, sometimes two a day. She casts out devils. She's really, God's blessing her, and she's moving out, and she's... I'm impressed with the anointing coming on my wife. It's just awesome. I mean, I'm even up to the point of being jealous a little bit. And that's good. Brings me on the good. She's such a better prayer and faster than I am. She fasts all the time, and I want to. She's better than I am. I only fast half the time, 6 months of a year. She sometimes gets 8 months out of a year. She's awesome. So, to answer the question, yes, she does travel with me, and she's got the Holy Ghost. So there's the answer. All right. The truth sets us free. Mark chapter 9. There's a couple of questions we're going to talk about. Then I'm going to jump into something here that hopefully will be a blessing to you. It may not be. Some of you will be blessed. Others of you still be mad. That's too bad. I'm sad, you know. What can I say? Mark chapter 9. Got a little boy here in trouble. And the apostles couldn't do nothing with it. The disciples couldn't take care of that demon problem. And then they bring it to Jesus, and the daddy, in his persistence, the need, I'm telling you, need will drive you to do things you normally wouldn't do. It'll drive you on your knees. It'll have you seeking God. That's something y'all normally don't do. But this need will do that for you. It'll put you on your knees. It'll put you out there. Seeking the name of Jesus. See, there was a lady came up to me over in Australia. It says to me, I have a problem with condemnation. I said, okay. She's going to tell me some more. I don't want to hear anymore. That's enough. Condemnation's a devil. It's dealt with like a devil also. So we prayed in Jesus' name. And oh, man, she flipped out. Boom, flying back in it. Like here again, she got absorbed by all the people. You know, I just went on. But she came up and brought me a letter. She had aborted a baby, and in her youth, and this thing was riding her into the ground. But Jesus brought her freedom. Her mind and her spirit were released. And she told me, I was so blessed by it because that's a serious thing that's going on everywhere. How people get into these traps, and then God comes in their life and changes everything around. But we are stuck with the emotions of the past. And so to deal with all that stuff, it takes a serious amount of anointing. You cannot counsel it away. It will not go away. It takes the Holy Ghost and dependence on the name of Jesus to bring freedom. You cannot counsel it away. I don't care how good you are. I'm not trying to take your job from you. You can still charge them $50, $75 an hour. I don't care, but you're not going to win. Because it's a demon oppression that has to be dealt with by the Holy Ghost. And this lady was so free, she says, for the first time in my life, I understand what freedom is. And that blessed me so much to hear her talking about that. But what brought her to come up front and to bare her soul to a guy like me, never met me before, it was the anointing. I'm telling you, when the anointing's around, you'll do whatever's necessary to get your problem fixed. And that's what that daddy was doing right here. I mean, he went, the disciples were there. I mean, they've been out, they've been casting out devils. But boy, they couldn't deal with this guy. And so Jesus walks up there. Oh boy, he casts the devil out. Boom, get out. Jesus reached and got him in verse 27, picked him up. And when he came to the house, verse 28, his disciples said to him, why? Do you know that if I asked you that question and gave you the opportunity to answer, that almost all of you in this room know the answer to that question? And I'm fixing to give you an opinion. In my opinion, the blood of your neighbors is on your hands, not mine. You know how. You know why. But you ignore the fix. You ignore the remedy. And it's because of your own selfishness. Church, look. It's always been that way. I can take you right through the Bible and show you the reason for sin is always a person's selfishness. We're going to have to wake up to the idea that truth is available. It's here. It's power. It's energy. It's confidence. It's constant. It's faithful. It's permanent. And it's freedom for us and the people around us. Now, it's our choice. Do you understand what power is given to you by choice? The nations are literally at our hands. And we choose no? Oh, Jesus, this is a serious problem to me. That's an opinion. And I'm pretty sure I can prove it that it's God's also. Of course, don't push me to prove it. We'll get into a debate. Why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, well, this kind of faith can come, this kind of demon can come out by prayer and fasting. Nothing can take it out. There's things happening around you in your life that only prayer and fasting can move. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are, how dumb you are, how rich, how poor. That is immaterial to the situation. What is relevant is your understanding and your choice in the matter to seek the name of Jesus. To allow the truth to penetrate your shield, your defense, and make you a different person than you are. And allow that Holy Ghost to continually change you to Jesus. Yep. Go with me over here to Daniel, capítulo 6. Daniel 6. Today, Brother Steve carried us to a place and we got a salad. I wanted a salad. I'm not a salad man too much, but I had a good workout and wanted to go eat just a little salad. Turned out to be bigger than I was looking for, but it was good. So we had this lady sitting there, and her name was Flora. Isn't that right, Flora? Huh? She's Flora. It wasn't Flora? How did I hear the A? See. Huh? And this lady, Flower, from Venezuela. And when I heard that name, I immediately asked if she spoke Spanish, and she just busted out into Spanish, and we had a great conversation. Turns out that some of her friends come to this church, and she'll be here tomorrow night. It's that simple. I'm telling you, witnessing is that simple. It is that simple. Just open the mouth. All right. Help me, Jesus. Daniel 6. I don't know who her friends are, but hopefully they're here tonight. They can tell her that I was talking about her. She told me I talk like a Mexican. And that's good. I've been there long enough to where my accent and my Spanish, she could tell I was from Mexico. That's good. I am happy about that. That's what you want if you're going to go and get you a people. Just be sure that you can talk like them. Daniel 6:1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. I don't want you to get mad at me about this, but I am fixed to put you... What if you were Daniel? Could your faith keep them lions hungry? What you know about God, would it shut the mouths of the lions? Or would it be the fastest taco they've ever seen? Oh, all right. Verse 2. I'm talking about truth here. Daniel had himself a bucket full. But it made him different than everybody else. It did. Truth makes you different. You don't. It's not that you're not. Look at me. I'm an American. You can look at me. Any country. I was just in New Zealand, Australia. I look similar to them. But they could just look at my clothes and tell I was an American. I can't stop that. But it don't make me like every American that's here. And I'm so glad. Look here, jump back over here. Let me see if I can find this. This is important. I'm going to try to find this. Daniel chapter 1, Hobet 6. We're going to go back over there and fight with lions in just a minute. But look here at Daniel 1. Daniel and them guys, they got themselves into trouble. Their forefathers and everybody had not listened to the prophets. They had done their own selfish thing, and then here comes judgment, just like the prophets said. And now they find themselves in Babylon, just like the prophets said. Babylon's coming, and when it does get to the United States, I want y'all to understand, you need to be like Daniel and these other three Hebrew boys. You don't need to be that compromiser that gets along and does everything Babylon. You've got yourself into Babylon. Now at least stand for God in Babylon. All right. Now it says, Daniel, verse 8, proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, look, right up front, I want you to notice that I'll study my Bible and I'll find this attitude of faith every chapter I look in almost. Do you understand that Daniel could have shut his mouth, got him a good position, loved his God off to one side, and been fine for the rest of his life? But he just couldn't. There's an attitude that comes with this faith thing. It makes you talk. You just got to talk. You just have to. It compels you to tell the truth. So Daniel, I mean, this guy that's taking care of Daniel and those guys, he likes them. I mean, they're good guys. They're good people. I mean, you're a good guy. And the king, the man, you don't get to say, I don't want to go to Burger King. I want McDonald's. You don't have that choice. And Daniel took it anyway. He said, I'm not eating it. Oh, Lord, could you imagine how this... Oh, look at this. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to drink his wine.
So he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he could not defile himself. Now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. If you can trust your God and your faith, when we do decide to stand against Babylon, even though we are in a Babylon society, God can give us favor in the society that's standing if we'll stand for God. And the princes of the eunuchs said, well, I fear the Lord and the king who appointed me meat, your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse lacking than the children which are of your sort? Whoa, what happened here? You mean to tell me there's other guys that have the same God like Daniel does, but they're not going with Daniel? Absolutely. Daniel was asking too much of them to say no to the king. Did y'all's Bible show it that clear as mine does? That's clear as a nose right on your face. There were other people, Hebrew boys there, Jews, that didn't listen to Daniel. They defiled themselves with the king's meat. But I would like for you to look. It was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those fellas are the people, if you look at the rest of Daniel, they're the ones that in every one of those kingdoms that came in were raised to kingship with the king. Doesn't mention anybody else. Doesn't mention those other people had the same God, had the same teaching, had the same princely ideas and robes and everything else, but they didn't have the same position because they compromised. Uh-oh. Now, you see what I found? I mean, it's in here. I found out. Can you believe I found it? Lots of people found it, I'm sure. But look what happened here. He said, okay, let's just... We don't want to hinder your position. In other words, your head from being lopped off. He said, so look here. Prove your servants. Just 10 days. Let them give us just beans and stuff and water to drink. Golly, what a... You know, that's what my Indians eat. Beans and water. Corn. There's no frills, nothing fancy in it. But those people, you cannot stay with them. They have a saying, because almost all Americans that come down eat a lot of cheese. So they've come up with a saying for Americans. I didn't have nothing to do with this. I didn't. If I'd have thought of it, I would have, but I didn't think of it. They did. El queso resbala y el chile camina adelante. The cheese slips and falters on the mountain, you see. But the chili, that's the green pepper, it keeps on going. So y'all need to change y'all's diets. So that's what Daniel was trying to tell them here. That el queso resbala, pero el chile sí camina adelante. And so, then in verse 13, it says, let our countenances be looked on before thee, and our countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as you see, deal with your servants. It's real simple. If there's proof, let's do it. If there's not any proof, I'll shut up. Simple. Simple. This thing is simple. So that's what they did. Verse 16, they took it away and all that stuff. Verse 17, as the four children, God gave them knowledge, skill, and learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. I want that. I'm not going to stand with Babylon and the king's meat. I won't do it. I simply don't care if it costs me my head. That's fine. It's up for grabs. But if I'm right, God won't let them have my head until he's through with me down here. So at the end of the 10 days, there you have it in verse 18. King brought him in. Oh, could you imagine how scared this guy was, his eunuch? And the king communed with him, and among them was found Daniel and all them other fellas. And they stood before the king in all the matters of wisdom. Now you listen to what you want. I know you. I know what you're seeking God for, wisdom and knowledge and understanding and ability. I know that's what you want. It's what I want. It's a desire of God in these days, and we're seeking that. We are. I know we are. But look who got it. It was the one that dared to take the chance to stand with God in his ways as opposed to the king's portion. In all matters of wisdom, understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of Cyrus. That's an important thing for y'all to get in inside before we go on. Because if not, you're going to think Daniel was just like you. He's not just like you. Daniel didn't do what Daniel wanted to. Daniel did what God said. And it didn't matter the circumstance or situation surrounding Daniel or his friends. They always did what the truth said. They were constant in it. They were faithful to it. They were permanent to the God of Israel, even in slavery. See what I want. I'll go back to Daniel chapter 6. I want in me. See, there was a boy standing there the other day in the prayer line in crutches. The little boy was standing there in crutches. I wanted them crutches. Do you understand that? I wanted them. I didn't want him to have them. I wanted them. I thought he was wrong to have them. I liked them. I wanted them. I said to him, give me them crutches. You should have seen the startled look on his face. But I've been walking on these crutches. I don't care how long you've been walking on. I want them. You know what the boy did? Picked up his leg, handed me the crutches. I said, now, they're mine. You can't have them again. Thank you. I said, do you want something in return? He said it would be nice. I said, okay. Jesus! Wow! It looked like I hit him with a bat. Knocked down a few people on the way. It was wonderful to watch. They wasn't paying attention. They should have been watching. The boy's crippled leg was healed. Yeah! I like it. This gospel is fun. It's so much fun to be 10 times better than other people. I'm serious. That's not a prideful statement. You can take it how you want to. It's not going to affect me. I'm still 10 times better. Ask any devil I'm around. All of a sudden I feel preached. Look out. Here we go. Let's go. All right. So Daniel, verse 2. And over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. Oh, no. Now look, can you believe this? Now look, God has the nerve to take Daniel from the servitude of sin because he stood with him and wouldn't back down off of it. God brought him, look at this. I mean, even inside of this situation, he's saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this, this, and this. You don't have those rights. I do. I have that right. Because see, it's an attitude. It's an attitude of faith. This is not a passing phase. You won't get over me. Don't invite me back if you don't want to hear it every time you see me. Because it's an attitude of faith. That's what it is. It's not David. It's Jesus in David. Gives you an attitude against the devil. If you ever had the nerve, gumption, zeal, confidence, whatever you like the word, to look at somebody and say, I want them crutches, that's stupid. They're supporting a man that's crippled. What do you want his goofy crutches for? I didn't want his crutches. I wanted him healed. But if I could get him to give me those crutches, I might could get him to run around this building. And for him to come off them crutches and hang on that guy, this is good. I can feel it. Feels good, T. I like it. Daniel was first. We only made it to verse 2. Oh, boy. Okay. The princes might give an account. First of all the princes in the known world, this man was the king was the boss of the known world around the Mediterranean and all that. All right, here you have it. They own the world. Now you've got a slave that's right under him, and he's over all these other people that have dominated the rest of the world. You don't think there's going to be some serious jealousy and pride taken? Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. There will be politics that we don't even know much about. Moving and maneuvering and manipulations. And I mean, there will be some demons unleashed on Daniel. He better be 10 times better than everybody else. Because these manipulative demons are coming. And they're things that you people don't even want to listen to. But they're out there and they're grabbing you and hooking you and guiding your life. And only Jesus can set you out of it. Only saying no to Babylon will get you free. Only receiving the truth will make you free. Only being permanent and constant and faithful. I'm telling you, there's demons of sickness. Have you heard of all the new thing? I was over in Australia just the other day. A bat scratched. They have these big old bats hang everywhere in the trees over there. Millions of them. And one of them scratched a lady. She handled them for years. She died in less than a week. It's a new disease. They had to think up a name for it. Never before in the history of man, but now it's there. Where are these things coming from? Hell. And you expect me to calm down and play the game? Not today. No, sir. I'm not eating of the king's portions today. No, sir. Not today. Today we decided we're going to walk with Jesus. King's portion, have to wait. Try to tempt me tomorrow. Today's not the day. I didn't fall today. Thank you, Jesus. I made it another day. Yes! You know, if you'll take it a day at a time, you say, man, how long have you been over? 20-something years. Oh, wow, God. Look, it's second by second. It's minute by minute. It's a decision that I've made that's quality, that I live with, that every time something new comes, every time you go somewhere and new things are added, it's still, I decide to follow Jesus. I decide to follow Jesus. I decide to follow Jesus. Do you ever get out of it? I don't guess. I've been doing it for years, and still, I decide to follow Jesus. I decide to follow Jesus. My daddy told me, he laughed at me. My daddy, right before he died, he said, I finished my race. You're only half through yours. Ha, 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 I said. Boy, them old preachers will get you going, boy. He was laughing at me because he was through with his. He said, you, I hope you make it because I've got it. He said, I really love you, son, but I'm going with Jesus. I'm out of here. And he died and left us. Imagine that guy doing that. Jeez. But you see, he ran his race. He fought his fight. There was no damage to the king in my daddy's life. Do you get it? He did right. So I've got to get up there and prove him that I can. I've got to decide every day. I'm coming, Daddy. I'm coming. I'm going to get you. I'm going to show you. And the king should have no damage. There, any job you've got, anything, any responsibility you have, you should be the best at it. And there's no way you should rip anybody off for any reason. Not even one penny. Let's break it down further than that. Don't even take a meal. That's a tenth of a penny. Don't even take anything that's not legally yours. Don't you let the king have not even a thought of an idea. Let you be the one that he brings up. Let everybody else be jealous of you. And you can have that. All of us can have that. Every one of us can have it. It's a decision that we make to grab the truth and let the truth bring us through. It says right here, verse 3, Daniel was preferred. Oh, there's the problem. See the word preferred. Oh, geez. Oh. Without that word, we're all right. But when you put that preferred on there, and it's not because Daniel in himself was any better, it's that his submission to his God was better. Daniel in himself was not the problem. It was his preference to God that made him the problem. The man that raised me in ministry, I asked him 20 times. Years before he died. Why are you the baddest thing on the planet in Mexico? How? Why? He'd laugh every time he told me the same thing. I am not the best, but I outlasted the best. Did you hear me? That's what Daniel did. It's not the man, it's not David. It's my ability to hold on to that truth that makes me set apart and different. It is not in the man, it's in the God of the man. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. There's a reason, y'all. Read it to me. Why was he preferred? That's right. Somebody say it with a little boldness. What caused him to be different? Excellent spirit! God considered Daniel's defiance of the king's meat as excellence. Did you hear that? It's written right in my Bible. But now it's considered rebellion. I am considered a fringe because of the way I act and the way I think and the things I say and do. David's all right. Let's take truth from him, but stay away from him. He's too hot to handle. Good. I don't want you handling me. I want the Holy Ghost fire tongs on me. That's what I want on me. I want that angel with them tongs off that coat. Burn me, Holy Ghost. Fire on me. That's what I want. Don't put your hands on me, because they might something happen to you if you touch me. Number one, an excellent spirit. I want y'all to say this with me. Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
give me the definition of an excellent spirit.
Give me the definition of an excellent
spirit. Shouldn't have listened to me. Shouldn't have said that. Holy God, grant it to be so in all of us. I'm telling you, the only thing I want that I'm looking for, and I don't like it because people don't like me. You know, I am a human. I do have emotions. It feels bad for people's mouths to run at you because all you want is people healed and delivered. You don't care about anything else. That's not the problem. I'm not trying to take your CDs. I don't want your old goofy money. What I want is Jesus. What I want is all of us to want Jesus. And that's why I've got this passion, this zeal that we all should want Jesus. And it takes an excellent spirit to accomplish getting the lion's mouth shut. But that's not the only thing that will get it shut. There's two other things in here. And we're going to work on it. Ready? And it's the truth that will bring it. And it says in verse 7, then these presidents and these princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Would you look at that? Would you look at that? Did y'all see that? These people went after the kingdom. See, when I come to meetings and talk and preach and shout and run and jump and buck and snort, you don't care how I'm dressed, really. You don't care about my pretty perfect hairdo up here. You don't care about none of that stuff. You really don't. You sit there with your pencil and you just wait. Just biding your time. Because you know in a minute my uncouth way of acting and my uncured way of talking, you're going to catch me in something that is not politically right. And you're going to write it down. You're going to say, see there, he couldn't be a man of God. Knock your silly self out. I hope you end up with a whole tablet full of sayings. They're going to jump out and eat you up one of these days. Legally, that's about all I can do to you, is growl at you. All right. Put that thing up there where it's pretty. Then the president sought to find problems against Daniel concerning his kingdom, but they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find any fault. And there's a reason, another reason in the next phrase. Faithfulness. He was faithful. Daniel was faithful. Do y'all remember one of the synonyms to truth? Faithful. Y'all remember one of the synonyms to confidence? Faithful. You can't get away from it. Holy Ghost. Now then, I'll share a story with you. I have time. There was a man. See, when I left Mexico, I told all the national leaders, I said, listen to me. This is what you're going to do. You're going to start another 100 churches while I'm gone. Well, that's hard to do. It's not impossible, but it's hard to do. Because I'm only going to be gone a few months. Well, they're not able to accomplish that. So I spurred these guys I work with, you guys, I want y'all. I want souls. I want healing. I want deliverance. I want the dead raised. I mean, I want it. I'm going to have it. So I'm encouraging everybody to good works. Well, there's this one pastor over there. His name is Hermano Pedro de Agua Fria. Brother Peter from cold water. And Brother Peter from cold water, he's a good guy. Been working with Brother Peter for a long time. I don't remember how many years. About 20. As long as I've been there, I think, almost. Right at it. Yep. Good guy. Boy, does he have... Man, the devil's after him. Devil hates him. I'm glad he hates him like he hates me. Feels good when the devil hates somebody else like they hate me.
Yep.
Feels good to me. Oh, are y'all going to like this? Oh, Jesus. Because this happened just a couple of weeks ago. Hermano Pedro, he's busy out here trying to get these church started because I told him he had to get these church started. So he's out there working. He wants to please me. And that's good. That's not bad. That's good. He's older than I am, but he considers me his daddy in the Lord. I could ask him to do anything. He would do it. It doesn't matter. He'd give it to me. But I don't want nothing. I just want him to serve Jesus. That's all I want. I want him to win souls. I want him to help me work for the kingdom of God. So he goes in this village. It's quite a ways away by donkey. And he says to the people, you need to repent and get born again. We've got to start a church here. You don't understand. I've got to start a church here. Well, what kind of repentance is that? You judge it. It's as long as they're in heaven, I don't care. As long as they're in heaven with us, I'm happy. That's what's important. Get them into the kingdom. And so, he's talking. He went into this house, and Brother Pedro did, and he says, talking to this guy, he says, you know, you must be born again. You need Jesus, your family. And oh, that man started cursing him. You people, I hate you people. Where have y'all been? All right, now here's the problem. He has a 22-year-old son who, that when he was 2 years old, broke something. Well, I don't know exactly what broke, but it caused him to be paralyzed from the neck down. So for 20 years, he's been carrying around this paralyzed son of his. So he's got quite a bit of bitterness and madness and anger, and he's hostile toward the gospel, toward Catholic, toward anything. He hates witch doctors. He hates everybody. So, you know, he was at least in good company. He hated everybody. Pile me in there with them demons. I'll work on it. You're uncomfortable. I'm happy. See how we think different? It's just something about being around devils. It gets you excited, don't it? Oh boy, it's good for you. Just keeps you. keeps you adrenaline flowing. Keeps you sharp. You can hear the trigger, the spring in the gun before the trigger snaps. And you can move. The devil just ain't quick as he thinks he is. Oh, y'all hate this kind of talking. And I love watching y'all. I'm having the most fun here. Watching you. Brother Peter says to him, hold on a minute. I'll make a deal with you. Uh-oh. Now see, I lost you, didn't I? See there? You don't deal with devils. Yes, you do. If you've got an excellent spirit, and if you're faithful to God, God will back you. He'll shut those lines down. Don't matter how hot the fire is, he'll make it cool for you. It doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you, this is the truth. This is the truth of the gospel. All of you in here know that God has the power, but you have trouble locating it. And the reason you tolerate me is because maybe there's a glimmer of hope. This guy hurts me, but maybe I can grab it. See, that's true. I know that's true. That's why I have so much fun doing what I do, watching you. Because of this man. I don't even know the son's name. I will in a minute. I'll be home in a few days. Hallelujah. I'm going straight over and look at this guy. He'll be at one of our conferences. I just can't wait to grab him by the hands and dance with him. His daddy said, I ain't coming and I ain't getting born again and I don't care what you offer. He said, I offer you this. That crippled boy right there. You get born again, that boy will walk. Now then, I done cross-threaded myself with all of his theology in here. Where do I have the right? It was given to me at the cross. Take it up with Jesus. You disagree with me? I don't care. Talk to him about it. He's my boss. He's the one backed it. He's the one healed the boy. It ain't my fault he's healed. Take it up with Jesus. All I did was try to represent. May not have been as well as you, but like I said last night, you're not there. So I don't have any competition. So all I have to do is represent Jesus. It may be a lot less qualified than you. For sure it is. But at least I'm there trying. At least I'm out there in them woods trying to help these crippled people, trying to get these nations born to God. I'm trying, all right? Well, I don't want to be politically correct. I don't care much about y'all's newfangled theologies either. I just don't. I care about that boy walking. I care about the Holy Ghost on him. I care about representing the excellency of God and the faithfulness of truth when I walk through those woods looking for devils. What do you mean looking for devils? Every rock, I turn them over looking for devils. I look behind every tree trying to find one. Were you there, devil? You can't hide very long. I'm going to find you. And when I do, I'm going to take you apart. With truth, excellency, and faithfulness. You cannot defeat that. God will reverse the natural laws for me if I can walk in truth. God will uphold heaven for me if I can walk in excellency and faithfulness. He'll do it. My problem is I've seen it too much. You don't have a foot to stand on. I have a bunch of them. Bunch of them. Walked a long ways to see this stuff happen. And I'm very happy that it is happening. So he invited me. He said, okay, look, don't get saved today. That's your business. But I invite you. We're having some meetings over. So that meant he had to load this cripple boy in a basket, load him onto a donkey, and ride him over there for 2 hours to church. Next Sunday, big service going on. Man didn't come. Brother Peter, 2 hours. Walks over there. You need to come to church and get saved. So that boy get healed. Said, I ain't coming and I'm not getting saved. Get out of here. Run him off. I like this. I like this a lot. This gospel thing is awesome. So then, you can know the truth, and the truth can make you free. Why could we not cast him out, Jesus? Not enough prayer and fasting. Where do you get excellency of spirit and faithfulness from God? Prayer and fasting. They're keys to power, knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Holy Ghost abilities beyond our wildest dreams are available. I can't wait to get some more. So another week goes by, Sunday morning, he's there, and Brother Peter's fixing to get up and preach. He looks over there, and up comes a donkey with a basket on it. The guy goes out there, they help him, they brought that boy in there, put him in that church. He's on the very back, laying on the ground, crippled from the neck down. 20 years, Brother Peter gets up there and preaches the gospel. He's a fire breather, this guy. He can preach the gospel. Boy, he's good. God taught him. I'm glad to be part of it. He goes right back there as soon as he got through preaching. You want to get born again? If you get born again, that boy will get healed. He said, don't want nothing to do with your God. Loaded up his boy, put him in the basket, took the basket, went to the donkey, put it on the donkey, and walked home. 2 hours. Next Sunday, Brother Peter is fixing to get up to preach again. There's the donkey comes walking up. Brings the basket in, lays the boy on the ground. This is wild, isn't it? I like it. This is just right down my alley. I like this stuff. I live in the alley where all this stuff happens. He preaches the gospel. He gets down, walks right down to him. If you get born again, that boy get healed. Says, I don't want nothing to do with your God. Picked his boy up, put him in the basket, put him on the dog, and went to the house. This seriously happened. The third week. If you don't want this stuff to happen to you, don't come listen. It's a mistake. You should get up and leave right now. Because it's going to get you in a minute. Sure will. He preached the gospel, walked on down there. He looked that man right in the face. He said, listen to me. If you'll get born again, God will heal that boy. He said, okay. So he walks with him right up to the front. Led him to the Lord Jesus. Told a couple of elders, bring me that boy. Turned around to that little bitty band they've got and said, play some songs about what? Where you at, Brother David? You know what I'm going to say. About the blood of Jesus. I wasn't there, so it. But every time I'm there, put something about the blood on that thing when you start playing it. So they put something on about the blood of Jesus. And they started singing that little Indian music. Two elders. Now look, the daddy's standing there, brand new, born again, less than 15 minutes. And he's watching that boy. The band's playing. La sangre de Cristo tiene poder para deshacer lo que hay en mi ser. It's a good song. And these two elders are standing there holding this guy up by the arms, under his arms. And that boy's there. Head flopped over. A few minutes go by. So he takes off running. Yeah! 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 See, what you're going to have to pray is pray to God that this will quit happening and maybe I'll calm down a little bit. But He's not going to listen to you. We've got too many years of seeking the Lord. God, that's awesome, isn't it? God, that's awesome. Woo! Man, I like that. Daniel liked it too. And then them men went out there and they said, well, we're not going to find anything on Daniel verse 5 unless we get something concerning the law of his God. So all these smart men and rich people put their heads together and they come up with an idea. Verse 7. They went to the king and they said, look here, you are the best thing since peanut butter. You need everybody to worship you. So for the next 30 days, make a decree. I like this gospel. Do you know that God's saving hundreds and thousands of people with us? And I preach just like this to them. I enjoy myself. I walk around with those guys and talk to them, look them in the face, bang on their heads. I do all sorts of stuff. And they just sit there and go, yes, yes, yes. And they get healed, healed, healed. And the presidents and the kings and everybody else comes against you, and you just keep standing there with your excellent spirit and the faithfulness in your heart and the truth and the power of the Holy Ghost and the powers of God just keep coming and coming and coming. It's wonderful. So the king signed it in the decree, into law. Verse 9, verse 10. Oh no, couldn't Daniel just lighten up a little bit? What's wrong with that guy? You think he could lighten up just a little? Look at verse 10. It says, when Daniel knew of the signing. Chill out, chump. Come on, man. If you just go home, you can serve your God. You can do what you... It's all right. But just close the windows. Shut the gate to your house. But the Bible says, now he is the head guy under the king. I'm pretty sure he knew what was going on in that court, don't you? I'm pretty sure he had the pencil in his hand and handed it to the king. I'm serious. I mean, just place yourself. He's the head guy. He's going to be there. So he knew it. Went to the house. Oh, why did he open his windows? I'll tell you why. Because he just had to do it. He just had to. There's just something in us makes us show him we're going to do it anyway. Just had to do it.
I like this. So he knelt down three times a day and prayed just like before and gave thanks to God. And these men are standing outside the window waiting. And they saw him do it. Oh, here they go. They run to the king. Hey, we found somebody. Oh, bring them in here. Oh, so boy, they felt big and powerful then. They run and put the chains on Daniel. Daniel's loyalty to God, Daniel's belief in the truth, Daniel's faithfulness, Daniel's excellency of spirit put him in bondage. Check out just about any man of God in the Bible before freedom was bondage. Check them out. Do it for yourself. Look and see. We, as an American church, want to skirt the bondage part. So the king, oh boy, oh boy. So here he goes. He runs out to Daniel. Oh no, it's Daniel. It's my friend. They've tricked me. Oh my God, Daniel. It wasn't really my fault, man. You know I love you. Daniel says, hey, chill out, man. So he did. So he started working on it. He worked all day trying to get him released, but he couldn't. So verse 17 says it can't be changed. Verse 15. So then the king commanded and they brought Daniel. Think of that to him. His best friend, man. Wisest man in the earth at the time. 10 times better than anybody else. And now he was trapped by his own pride. Oh, well. Maybe God can do something. Let's see. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And now the king spake and said to Daniel, now then, look at this little interesting phrase. The God that you serve continually, He... What is that word right there, the next word? What does that mean? Is there any doubt in that word? No. This is an unbelieving king. This is a devil. But he knew Daniel's God, didn't he? Something about history and these smart men, they know things that they don't always tell us. And so the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the thing, and so, boy, and so forth, and away it went. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Can you believe that old guy? Neither were the instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep left him. Well, this is pretty awesome to me. I like it. See, there was a little girl that got sick. And her parents were pretty new Christians. They weren't a year old in the Lord yet. They go to one of our churches called Placetas. In Placetas, it's a pretty good place. You can have... Hey, you want to have fun in God, go to Placetas. It doesn't make any difference what time you get there. They'll be having church. And you just go there and have church. You're going to see the fire of God. This little girl got sick and was sick for 14 days, didn't eat or drink anything, and she died. The church was in the middle of a fasting. Y'all remember? I don't remember. I think it was 5 days. Doesn't matter. And right in the middle of the fast, the little girl dies. So that night, the pastor calls a prayer meeting of the whole church. So what we're going to do, get together and bless the family and pray for the family and pick out a coffin and get the burial plot and dig a hole. No. You're missing the whole point if you believe that. What we're going to do is you bring that baby in and you start worshiping Jesus. And you worship God, and you worship God, and you worship God. And you know what happened? The pastor took, his name is Hermano Ruben, Brother Ruben. He took that little baby into his arms, called her by name. He never prayed, he never said the name of Jesus. He didn't do it right.
We're going to have to call him on the carpet and rebuke him for this. I'll let y'all do that. I'll let him alone. Called her by name three times. At the end of the third time, she come back to life. Healed. That was on a Thursday. And Sunday, I was there and had church. And the mama was there with the baby. I brought her up there and I asked her. I asked the mama, that was all true. And daddy and everybody, the whole church was in agreement. So I held on to that little girl. I just wanted to hold her. I just walked around preaching with her, just holding her. I like being around that sort of stuff. It's kind of good for you. You know, it does something for you. It was fun. Boy, I'm so glad she was healed. Thank you, Jesus. She's doing real well. I've seen her a few times since. So the king, he got up early in the morning, verse 19. And he went to the lion's den in haste. And he said in a lamentable voice to Daniel, Daniel, what a testimony. Now this is the guy that as soon as he got to Babylon, rebelled against everything that was set up for him. This is a guy that went against the established way. This is a man that it seemingly was going to cause trouble for everybody. But he was walking in truth. He was walking with integrity. He was walking with faithfulness. He was walking with excellence of spirit. And he's got the king saying, servant, look, what does that say? Servant of the living God. Is your God who you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Do you understand who's talking here? This is the man that owns the world talking here. This is the king. A warrior, a guy that'll take off anybody's head for just looking at him wrong. He can have it done. And he's down on his hands and knees. Get this guy. Daniel, you in there, boy? Hello, Daniel. Daniel talked back, didn't he? With total respect and loyalty, an excellent spirit, a faithful man is a secure person. It's not a person that you have to baby all the time. It's not somebody that thinks that the whole world is out to get him. Because I know, as a guy that has faithful, the world is going to get you. So you got to fight it. And you fight it with excellence. You fight it with faithfulness. And you fight it with something else. And Daniel says it. And this, to me, is one of the greatest attributes to us that we need to get a hold of. It says right here. We need to get this. You ready? My God sent His angel and shut up the lions' mouths. And they're not hurting me. For as much as before God, innocence was found in me. We've got to have excellence, faithfulness, and innocence. I'm telling you, those are things that are lacking in the body of Christ. It'll raise the dead. It'll let the 20-year bound paralytics go free. It'll run cancer off. They went to a village here in a place called Tihuatlan. It's a place that I've been wanting to get into for years. Well, God opened it while I was gone. Can you believe He'd do that? What's wrong with Him? Don't He need me? Yes, He needs me, but He's got it going now where He can do what He wants to. Hallelujah. Isn't that fun? So this village opened up. It's a pretty good sized town, actually, Tihuatlan. The man was mute, deaf, and epileptic. They go in there and they're witnessing to the family. The family member that let him in, this is Brother Santos from a place, Santos de los Angeles from Ixcatepec. Holy of the Angels is the man's name. We call him Brother Holy. He's a good guy. Lots older than me, but he calls me his papa. And I'm glad for that. He walks in his house, starts witnessing Jesus to these people, and they're riled up to throw him out. And the man in there sick, laying on the bed, calls him by name. Never heard him before. He was totally deaf. From birth, couldn't speak, and was epileptic. And when Santos de los Angeles, venga acá, come from that room where this deaf guy was, and this mute fella is, and this epileptic is lying on the bed dying. Who spoke it? So his brother walks in there. What? Santos de los Angeles. He runs out of there. Santos de los Angeles, come in here. My brother said you need to come in here. His deaf, mute, epileptic brother, talk to him. Nobody prayed to him. All they did was walk in that house. Jesus is King and Lord. And boom, he started talking. Wow. What say, let's pray? Maybe we can get the rest of those devils out of here. So he said, okay, go ahead. You can pray now. Y'all can pray. Y'all can pray. They prayed. The epileptic demon left. The mute guy opened his mouth and the ears flew open and he can hear. 27 years. That's pretty good. Thank you, Jesus. There's another part here. It says right here in my Bible, it says, as far as much as innocence was found in me before God, and before you, O King, I have done no hurt. I am pretty serious about this thing of obedience and doing what's right in the sight of God and man. It'll bring power to us. I am convinced that this thing about truth, if we can mix excellence with it, if we can mix faithfulness with it, if we can mix innocence with it, if there's something attacking you, I have determined, and I'm doing real good at it. You want to fight me? Knock yourself out. Just hope I don't backslide, that's all. But I'm not going to in Jesus' name. The thing I want you to see is Jesus is King and Lord here. You want to fight with me? Fight with the works of the Father. Tangle yourself up in these crippled people and deaf and mute people that are talking, walking, and hearing. You want problems? Fight with the poor that are hearing the gospel and watch what the Holy Ghost does to you. I'm telling you, it's not, we're wrong. Church, we are wrong. We need excellence of spirit. We need innocence. We need faithfulness. We need the lion's mouth shut. And it's going to take God's way to get it. Your way is not working. That's what I've come here to tell you. Now, to get what I'm going for, God's going for tomorrow, you got to get this. Because each day we're changing gear. We're fixing to be rolling here. But you're going to have to go with me. I'm running in this stuff, and I want you running with me. We can do this together. I'm telling you, if we could just light up, we could light up the world. Doesn't matter how dark. Do you know how bright? Do you know what? On the darkest night, the smallest light shines the brightest. Did you hear me? It doesn't. You say, well, I'm not very much. My light's not very bright. Well, let's go out here where it gets dark and it'll get brighter. You know, I have somewhat of a light. It may not be as bright and as pretty as yours, but I like to hang out where there's plenty of darkness. It makes me shine, boy.
Sure does. Really does. I think we've had enough. Would y'all please put your Bibles up and let's pray, please? And I want for us to get this tonight, because we're headed to something else tomorrow that I think is going to be very enjoyable for me. I'll put it like that. I'll enjoy it. Let me read it to you. Y'all go ahead and stand up, please. I want you to... Whoop, that's the wrong book. Boy, did you hear some powerful stuff or what? Man! What a God. Can you believe it? Woo! All right, I'm going to read this here verse 32 for you again. But I'm going to add another verse to it this time. It says right here in verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth," John 8:32, "and the truth shall set you free." I'm going to go down here just a couple more verses. So what if we do bump into that freedom? What if we do bump into it? Here's what's going to happen. So if the Son does liberate you, makes you free men and women, then you are really and unquestionably free. Just think how it would be to let the wars and rumors of wars fight themselves and us be free to preach the gospel. That's not withdrawing and backing up. Son, that's setting up a defense that they cannot take out. Freedom. You can't kill freedom. They've tried to take this country how many times? You can't kill it. And they're not going to succeed this time. Because we are free men. Do what you have to. But you ain't taking my freedom. I rebuke you. And your devil. Don't you understand all you can do is shoot me? And then you better have a big gun when you do that. Man, oh man. Come on. Jesus sets us free. So why don't we use a little bit of innocence? Let God be in charge. Let Him fight our battles for us. Let Him clasp the mouths of the lions for us. He can do it. He will do it. He's done it for me. I'm telling you, I've been hiking in the jungle, come up on a giant male jaguar hungry. And all of a sudden, I noticed he's there. I'm good in the woods, but he's better. That jaguar is better than I am. And they're big, them old guys, and they stalk you and mess with you. But in a minute you get enough of that, you go, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name, now let me alone." He's gone. It's that easy. I'm a free man. You can't have me for breakfast. I got the Holy Ghost. Leave me alone. Freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Excellence, faithfulness, and innocence. Mix that with truth and you have a power that can't be beat. It can't be beat. And we're going to prove that tomorrow night again. And the next night again. Boy, I see something good for us. This is fun to me. Now then, I need to see if there ain't somebody here that needs to be born again. You know, I just got to ask. Is there anyone that does not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life? If there is, would you please come up here? And let this mighty God that holds lions' mouths shut talk to you and bless you and heal you and help you and set you free. Is there anyone that needs to be born again? Would you come here, please? In Jesus' name. Is there anyone? Would you please come? Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. How you doing, sir? How you doing? Doing all right?
I think I'll be doing better now.
Yeah, you will. I think so. Jesus is going to help you.
Right.
All right? Hang on just a second. Let me see if I can talk somebody else in to come up here and join you. Is that all right? You got some time for that? Thank you. Boy, I like courage. Woo! Man. What? What you doing up here? You need Jesus? Good idea. Look pretty stout. Sorry, I am too. I got the Holy Ghost. You just hang on just a minute. You need Jesus. Good. This is good. This is real good here.
Yes, Father. Thank you.
See, people tell me all the time, just calm down and soften it up a little bit. You're going to run these people that need Jesus off. You're not. That's not right. Truth will bring people to God. Truth. Is there anyone else? Would you look around you, please, and help me out? Y'all already have. I've noticed that. But would you look again and just maybe there's another person or two that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here that's backslid in your heart. Would you please come up here? Would you please come up here and let Jesus set you free? The mighty Holy Ghost wants to help you in Jesus' name. Would you please come? Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone else? Please. Would you please bring these fellows and talk to them and bless them and pray with them? And would y'all please go with them just for a minute? And then I want to pray with y'all, please, if it's all right, in just a minute. Jesus' name. Holy Ghost.